Join us today for Saints and Sinners, as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners. Your host, Ken Johnston, and my good friend, Father Douglas Michael McKay. Hello, Father.
Hello, Ken. Happy Easter to you and all of our listeners.
That's right. We want to wish all of you a happy Easter. We are in now day four of the octave, and we celebrate these 8 days as one day, so we can continue to wish each other happy Easter until at least Saturday. So we want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your financial and prayerful support that has kept us on the air for over 40 years. We can't thank you enough. It's what allows Father and I to be here every Wednesday, and for the rest of our broadcasters to be here Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on WTMR 800 AM. And over the WTMR app, as well as Facebook Live. If you ever want to get a look at me, you can go to the In His Sign Catholic Radio page, and we are broadcasting live on there. One of these days we'll get Father in the studio, where we're trying to find a way, Father, now that you got a smartphone, to get you hooked up and get you doing video as well. So more to come on that.
You'll be my guide.
Father McKay and I are part of Our House Ministries, a ministry that works with the addicted and anyone else who comes to us. You can learn more about the ministry at our website, ourhouseministries.org. It's all spelled out, ourhouseministries.org. We're also, although time's limited, but with enough lead time, we can make arrangements to come out and speak at your parish or other group. Just get in touch with us through the Our House Ministries website or through Maureen here at In His Sign. A couple events that are coming up in the very near future. On Sunday, April the 14th, we will have one of our two annual fundraisers, our Wake Up America Dinner. That'll take place on Sunday, the April the 14th, out at the Malvern Retreat House from 1:30 to 5:30 in the afternoon. The theme for the day is Be Awake, Be Alert, Be Prepared. And the keynote address will be given by President of In His Sign Radio, Kathleen McCarthy. Our special guest this year will be Mark Houck, who happens to be running for Congress. You have an opportunity to meet myself and Father and the rest of the broadcasters. There'll be a silent auction as well as drawings for raffle prizes. You can download a flyer with all the information at our website at inhissign.com. If you scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download that flyer. If you have any questions, you can reach Maureen here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. You can buy tickets as an individual. You get a little bit of a discount for couples and a table of eight. So we hope to see you again on Sunday, April the 14th. I guess this will be the last time we announce this one, because it's going to take place tonight. Kathleen McCarthy will be at St. Robert Bellarmine Parish in Warrington, Pennsylvania, this evening, April the 3rd at 7 o'clock, and she'll be giving a talk entitled, Woman, Why Are You Weeping? Whom Are You Looking For? Again, that's tonight at St. Robert Bellarmine in Washington, Warrington, rather, Pennsylvania, my daughter's parish. Everybody is welcome, and a free will donation will be accepted. Let's see. Usually haven't been announcing Matt Talbot 57, but a week and a half from now, a great group for men. Last count I had from our good friend Sean Mooney, they had about 240 men registered for that Matt Talbot retreat next weekend. And unfortunately, the highly anticipated retreat director is going to have surgery and not be able to make that retreat. So yours truly has been asked to come out and help out with that retreat. So I'll be there. I'll be giving four talks, I think. Father McKay will be on hand to offer the masses, since obviously I can't. And there's still plenty of room if anybody's interested in making that weekend. Also, on Mother's Day weekend, that's May 10th to the 12th, Father Chris Allar will be at Malvern for the first annual Mother's Day retreat. And it should be a great weekend. Our friend Father Mary B. D'Amico will be participating in that retreat as well. So that one you can also register online, malvernretreat.com. Coming up this Friday is First Friday. And again, busy at Malvern. Every First Friday they have Mass at 7:30 in the Family Life Center, followed by a breakfast where they take up the free will offering, as well as a gospel reflection or faith sharing that takes place during breakfast at each of the tables. All are more than welcome to join. Again, that'll be this Friday, April the 5th at Malvern Family Life Center, 7:30 Mass, followed by breakfast. And our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays in the Church of St. Gabriel, 29th and Dickinson Streets in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia. It's open from 9 to 4:30 on Tuesdays and Thursdays. At 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, we have a holy hour that concludes with Matt Talbot Novena prayers and benediction. On Thursdays at 4 o'clock, we pray the rosary before the shrine closes. If you're going to come down, I encourage you to check out our website at ourhouseministries.org. There's email information as well as the phone number. And get in touch with Father and I, and we can meet you over in church if you come down. While we're talking about Matt Talbot, plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot, which will take place in June of 2025. We'll keep you up to date as that draws closer. All right. That's enough with the announcements. Let's go ahead and start with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
And the following is the prayer for the canonization of Venerable Matt Talbot. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin.
Pray for us who have recourse to thee and for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you.
Amen. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph.
Pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe.
Pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels.
Pray for us.
And all the saints and angels.
Pray for us.
May the divine assistance remain always with us.
And may the souls of the faithful departed through the mercy of God rest in peace. Amen.
Amen. And Ken, before we end, I'd just like to say that Hail Mary for Joe Joya, who is, I believe, came home from the hospital. We pray for him today, you know, at our Mass. And also my cousin Dottie Ann. I think she's listening. She had eye surgery today, and it was a successful surgery. Just want to thank the divine physician, the surgeon, the greatest psychotherapist, Jesus himself, the one and true doctor, in thanksgiving for healing graces to my cousin Dottie Ann, and also for Joseph. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
Mother of us all,
pray for us.
And St. Joseph,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. All right, this is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or if you're listening from a distance, you can reach us at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. Especially wanting your calls as we go to the bottom of the hour for our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the great back from the, I was going to say back from the grave. When we come back from the break, we want to have our, want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, but we'll need your phone calls in order to make that happen. And, you know, Freudian slip, I don't know. This we are in the first week of Easter, and, of course, a lot of the talk, whether it's in spiritual conversation or, of course, at Daily Mass has been about the resurrection and the emptying of the grave. And so on Sunday, the 31st of March, we celebrated Easter. And really don't have anybody in the calendar for the rest of the week. We got Divine Mercy Sunday coming up on the 7th. And we'll probably include a little talk about John Paul II, who died on April the 2nd back in 2005. His feast day isn't actually until October 22nd. But he died on the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday and, of course, was instrumental in making the world aware of Saint Faustina and her diary and Divine Mercy. He would canonize Saint Faustina during his legacy as Pope. So we'll kick it off today and talk a little bit about Easter. We mentioned that we are in the middle of the octave, right smack dab in the middle of it today, where the Church sets aside 8 days that are really like one day as we celebrate this feast. There used to be more octaves in the liturgical calendar, and we're down to just a couple now. And this one, of course, being the most important because this is the one that makes us Christians, makes us Catholics. Without the resurrection, we'd still be waiting on the Redeemer. And so, you know, this past weekend, last week we talked about the Triduum that included Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and the Easter Vigil. And you know, heard a couple different sources when attending either Mass or the liturgies that you know, it was really one continuous Mass that began Thursday evening and concluded on Saturday evening at the Easter Vigil. And you know, in that we celebrate, of course, the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord. And it really is, for, like I say, those of us that are Christian and especially Catholic, it's what defines what our faith is all about. Because if there was no resurrection, then it certainly our faith wouldn't make any, make sense at all, and we would still be waiting for that Redeemer. But I think even more importantly, as Catholics, the emphasis that's placed on the Last Supper on Thursday evening and the Passion on Good Friday and the suffering and the sacrifice of our Lord, you know, is what led up to that redemption. And, of course, you know, we hear the stories on Sunday of the tomb being empty, whether it's Peter and John who ran to the tomb or Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, the Blessed Mother that went to the tomb. In any event, when they got there, it was empty, and even leading up to today's Mass, where we had the Road to Emmaus story, you know, everything during this week kind of unpacks what our Catholic faith is all about, especially as Jesus Christ would unpack it to those two disciples that he met along the way on the road to Emmaus. So, yeah. Great week, right, Father?
Yeah, you know, really. And you're right, it's the one Easter day. I was just doing some shopping here at Wegmans, I think it is. And the cashier was checking me out, and I said, Happy Easter. She said, I had a Happy Easter last Sunday. I said, well, it's still Easter. She didn't even know it. Maybe she was maybe not a Catholic. Right. I said, no, it's an Easter day all the way up to Divine Mercy Sunday. 8 days, we celebrate the Easter day. And besides, you know, the season of Easter goes all the way up to Pentecost. But you're right, Ken, it's about the empty tomb. And one of my favorite Easter stories is about a little boy, Stephen. And Stephen, he had a neurological problem, and he stuttered. But he had a wonderful teacher, and she was always sensitive to him because his classmates would often make fun of him. And this teacher always had wonderful projects, and around at Easter time, she thought, we'll do an Easter project. and she was out shopping, and she came across these leg eggs, and they would have stockings inside. So she bought 15 of these egg legs, big eggshells, and she would give the stockings to her family members and friends. And she put them into the class of 15 students and told each student to take an eggshell and come back the next day and fill that eggshell with a message of life. So the next morning, the teacher is riding in, and she's thinking to herself, how do I work this now? If I let the students open the eggshells and explain it, Stephen's going to have his turn, and he'll ruin the project. So what I'll do, I'll have the students put all the eggshells on my desk, and I'll open them up. So she opens the first one up the next morning, and a butterfly flies out, message of life. She opens up another one, and it's sand with ants, community. And another one is a flower. And she comes to another one, it's a rock, and she says, that must be Stephen's. She pushes it aside, but a hand goes up, teacher, look under the rock, look under the rock. And here there's a snail, message of life. Then she comes to an empty one, and she says, oh, that got to be Stephen's. She pushes aside real quickly. And the other one, the flower, and on and on. And so as second graders, they begin to identify their egg. Teacher, the one with the butterfly, that one was mine. And everybody clapped, yay. And the flower, that was mine. And the ants, that was mine. They're all identified except for one. And it's the empty one, and it's Stevens. And he's waving his hand, and the teacher has to call him. And he stands up, and the teacher says to Stephen, why didn't you do your homework assignment? Why didn't you complete it? And he said, well, and he started to stutter. He said, I did. My empty eggshell is a symbol of the empty tomb of Jesus Christ. There was a hush in the classroom. No one ever again teased Stephen. And the following year, he died from that neurological disease. And at his funeral mass, his graduation ceremony, all the students came up and they laid their empty eggshells on his little casket to show that his casket was empty too, like the empty tomb, and that Stephen wasn't there. The empty eggshells, symbol of the empty tomb. Jesus is not there in the tomb because he's here with us. And listening to the radio program, watching everybody listening as well, the tomb is empty, and that's the meaning of Easter. It's not the Easter bunny or Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail or getting new clothes or going down the shore and trying to find a place for the summer for a week. And it's not the Easter candy or the fine meal we had on Easter Sunday. The message is the empty tomb of Jesus Christ, which means eternal life. His tomb is empty, and so shall our graves can be empty.
Amen. And, you know, like I said, that's what our faith is all about. You know, that... You talk about it all the time that, you know, we're destined for something a whole lot greater than where we are today, and that we're going to go back to where we came from, and that resurrection is part of all of our lives. And, you know, the apostles, even up until the actual resurrection, were confused. Jesus, you know, told them a few different occasions that, you know, he would have to die and that he would rise again, and that they didn't get it, and they finally did get it when he comes back after that resurrection. And it was always interesting to me that, you know, the disciples on the road to Emmaus didn't know who he was or recognize him until the breaking of the bread, that Mary Magdalene, when Jesus approaches her, she thinks it's the gardener and doesn't recognize him right away. And, you know, sometimes in my own life, you know, I don't recognize, you know, Jesus in other people. And sometimes it can be a challenge. But, you know, he's in there. He's in everyone. And like you said, you know, he's here and now. I didn't think about him listening to the radio program, so I got to make sure.
Why should you say?
Yeah, exactly. But you know, it's there's times where it just seems too good to be true, that the human mind can't quite comprehend, and yet with the aid of our Catholic Church, the saints, the mystics, all these people that make Jesus real for us. And it doesn't get any more real than it does in the Eucharist, that, you know, the gospel today, where we hear that, I forget now if it was the gospel or Acts with the Emmaus story, that, you know, that they recognize them in the breaking of the bread and how important it is in our Mass and our liturgies that we recognize them, so much so that the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops has designated not one but 2 years for, or maybe it's even 3 years, for the Eucharist to reacquaint people and reemphasize the importance in recognizing Christ and his presence, body, blood, soul, and divinity in that Eucharist.
Yeah, you're right, Ken. It's all Eucharistic. We have a Eucharistic Lord, and you know, Alleluia is our song, and that beautiful reading today that I proclaimed the gospel with the Emmaus walk, that so powerful. They didn't recognize him, but there was something different about him. You know, that glory, that resurrection. You'd think they would have noticed the bruises on his face or something. I mean, he had the five wounds, but there was a glory about him. And they're walking, and yet their hearts are burning. And he begins to explain to them about himself. He said, how slow are you to know that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he gives that homily, in a sense, explaining that Jesus had to die and rise from the dead, and he explains to them. But it's like the structure of the Mass, because that's what we do at the Mass, you know. There's the reading, the scripture, you know, we hear about the prophets, and then there's the explanation, the homily. And then that's the liturgy of the Word, and then we go into the liturgy of the Eucharist, and we go to the altar, the table. And that's exactly what he did on the road to Emmaus, that he's walking down the road, and he explains the scriptures to them, gives the homily, and they come to the inn. He sits down, and he uses the same language as he sits down, and he takes bread. He went in to stay with them, and it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread. He said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. Eucharistic words. And their eyes were open, and they recognized him then. And then there, at the end there, it was like the two recounted what had taken place. They ran back all excited that they had met the risen Lord, and how they have come to known him in the breaking of the bread. And that was the name of the Mass. That's what we called the Mass back then. It was the breaking of the bread. And I was saying that today, you know, that fracture at the holy sacrifice of the Mass, when you know the Lamb of God, you know, and the priest breaks the bread, that fracture, there it is, all the precious blood, all the rays of grace coming down on us and purifying us and lifting us up to the Father. So the Mass, yes, it is a sacrifice, but it's a banquet too, because we transcend in the banquet, the wedding banquet, and heaven comes to us. You know, we don't have to wait till we die to be with God. He's here with us now, all the time, in the breaking of the bread. And that's what's so beautiful. It's like he's here, and it's eternal life. Whoever believes in me has eternal life. Whoever eats my body and drinks my blood has eternal life. That's God's life. I can have the peace, the joy. I can act like God. I can forgive, be compassionate, be kind, be patient, be forgiving, be loving. I mean, they're all acts of God, because God is with us, and I can do all these things because he is with me. And any good that I have comes through me, but not from me. It's coming from the indwelling presence of God. So, yeah, there's only one Mass in the Last Supper. That was the first Mass, and that was the last Mass, and that was the only Mass. And when we're at the altar with the priests in our churches and chapels, we are in the upper room. We are at that one Mass, and the Lord sees us. He sees everybody. And he forgives us. He touches our hearts. It's so very personal. But yeah, it's all about the Mass. You know, just to receive him in the Eucharist. And when we receive him, we receive our God in the mystical body of Christ. And we are transcendent into that banquet. We pass over from this worldliness into godliness, from darkness into light, from sin into grace, from death into eternal life, Ken. Eternal life. Easter, about eternal life. Having God's very own life. Do we know the price that was paid for us? Not gold or silver, And that was the first reading today, where we see that he's still alive, you know, when he comes to the temple. And there's a cripple there, and he's expecting gold or silver. And Peter says, I don't have any gold or silver, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus the Nazarene, get up and walk. And he gets, and it shows that the Lord is still alive. He's in our midst. He's with us always until the end of the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Amen. And, you know, again, the this time in the liturgical year.
Thunder?
Yeah.
You hearing thunder?
Well, I got the headset on, but there's something rumbling out there.
I just heard thunder with our hallelujahs. The thunder.
Yeah.
The Chosen, where John's writing, how should I start this? You know, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and God was the Word, and you know, the Word became flesh and dwells among, and all the thunder start happening. Maybe brought me right back to that, you know, thinking about eternal life, and all of a sudden I'm hearing saying hallelujah, and there goes the thunder, like God is saying, amen, amen.
Amen is right, and, you know, I heard the rumbles earlier, and, you know, not that we're going to prophesy or anything. We talked last night about, you know, things that are going on. We got an earthquake in Taiwan today. We got the solar eclipse coming up on Monday afternoon here in the Philadelphia area. The sun should be blocked. I think it's 88%, 89%, something along those lines. And, you know, so we have all this climate phenomena, not climate change or global warming, but the different phenomena that has been going on now for, it seems like, a number of months. But, you know, the message that you preached last night in your homily of repentance, and it's coming up, you know, again this weekend. When we come back from the break, we'll talk a little bit about John Paul II and Divine Mercy Sunday. But we're in that, you know, prime season, and especially as Christians and Catholics, you know, it's really the highlight of the liturgical year for most of us. And, you know, we've just spent 40-plus days in Lent and preparing for Easter. And so now is not the time to, you know, go back to our old ways. I forget, I think I had a guest on, or maybe it was a podcast I had, where, you know, talk about whatever you give up for Lent, give it up for life. And so, you know, whatever activities we took on during Lent, whatever we may have given up, you know, just because Easter has Easter Day, Easter Sunday has come and gone, doesn't mean that we, you know, we give up those new practices or, you know, revert right back to whatever it is that we were fasting from for that time.
Yep.
So I'm going to give out the numbers again. We want to have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break, but we can't do it without your calls. The numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906. Or toll-free, 888-343-2484. We do have a minute, Father, if you wanted to interject something before we get to the break.
You know, you were saying the earthquakes, and we were talking about last night, all the signs, Ken. And I think about, like, be not afraid, that the Lord is with us. He's already won to claim the victory. But there was a story, an Easter story, that I like to tell, just to end here with our segment. But it was about the little girl, and she's traveling through Europe on a train, and they're coming across lakes and rivers, and there's bridges all along the way, and the bridge would take them from one side to the other side of the river and the lake and so on and so forth. And the little girl, when they came to the first one, she was scared, thinking the train was going to go into the river. But she noticed there was a bridge, and then she came again to another spot where they had a crossover. And she got afraid. Mommy, I'm afraid. And then there was another bridge. And it came to another one. And she thought the train was going to go into the lake. And she said, Mommy, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. And there was another bridge. And then she wasn't afraid anymore, because she said, you know, Mommy, someone went ahead of us and built bridges along the way. Jesus, the Pontifex, the bridge builder, has built the bridges all along the way. And we just follow him, Ken, out of this crazy, chaotic world of ours into that peaceful, glorious world of his, the kingdom of God with eternal life. So I'll end it there. The bridge builder, Jesus, be not afraid. He goes before us always, and he's with us always until the end of the world.
Amen. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a short break. When we come back, we'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio on WTMR 800, Camden, Philadelphia. Listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Right, and welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston and Father Douglas McKay. And I'm going to roll through the list of Calyx meetings upcoming here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. In the meantime, all the phone lines are open. The number's 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or toll free 888-343-2484. All the podcasts for the shows, the recordings of our shows, were updated last Thursday. We are missing one from the 15th of March for Grace Marquet. We'll get that one up tonight, but the everything else was uploaded as of last Thursday. We'll work on this week's shows probably tomorrow and have them available by noon tomorrow. As far as the Calyx Society goes, it's a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs where our motto is we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. Father McKay and I and a whole bunch of others get together every Tuesday night in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We begin at 6 o'clock with a short adoration period followed by Mass and then our Calyx meeting at 7 o'clock. On the third Tuesday of each month, we have our Matt Talbot evening where we have a holy hour from 6 to 7 p.m. and then Mass at 7 o'clock. Confessions are available during that holy hour. And this month, that'll take place on Tuesday, April the 16th. So get your taxes done on the 15th and come visit us on the 16th. We pray for all those that are in recovery, those that need to be in recovery, and all those that love them. We have a Calyx unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown that meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock in the Parish Center. Then our next meeting will be tomorrow evening, Thursday, April the 4th. The unit in Glenside at St. Luke the Evangelist meets on the third Saturday of each month. We join the parish for 8:30 a.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. Our meeting in April will be Saturday, April the 20th. There's the unit at the Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. And there they have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joseph's Chapel, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in April will be April the 21st. In nearby Wilmington, Delaware, there's a Calyx unit that meets at St. Matthew's every Wednesday for 6:15 p.m. Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And in the 5 o'clock hour, we've got two guests lined up today. From 5 to 5:30, we'll have Christopher Reed, who has written a book, Sacred Conversations, How God Wants Us to Communicate. And at 5:30, I'll have Jason Jones, author of The Great Campaign Against the Great Reset. Really interesting book. So you're going to want to stick around today if you can for that 5 o'clock hour. We're going to kick off our Is That Odd or Is That God segment, and we're going to go to the phones and Kathy. Hello, Kathy.
Hello, Father and Ken and Patrick. Here's my odd but God. I was like, I want to jump out of my skin, but I know how God always does. He's always on time and he always works. When you said hallelujah, hallelujah, and the thunder started too, and then you said the thunder, and I'm like, oh, well, my odd but God, because you're nowhere near me. I'm all the way in South Philly. You're all the way up in Malvern. And I'm like, oh, and I heard Ken saying he heard it through his you know, earphones. But I thought that was awesome because usually when they say, like, the weather and all, it's like somewhere else, you know, that they said they had all this happening, like thunderstorms and all that. And, you know, the thunder. But it was the same exact time, and I was like, I wonder who else in South Philly is listening to this, you know?
Mm. How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, as you were talking, there was thunder rolling here, just as you were talking.
Oh, right.
The thunder there when you were talking?
Now. I think God's moving furniture around up there.
Yeah. I think the angels are bowling.
There you go. That was the line we always got. One. Yeah. Yeah.
All right, but I just wanted to get up and just share that with you. And
hey,
I guess God
thanks,
God. Holy boldness.
All right. Thank you, Kath. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Yep,
bye-bye.
You too.
Happy Easter. Okay. Otter God.
Otter God. So, you know, the Otter God, I shared about it last night, and it was not something I ever expected to happen. I had gotten an email from the retreat house concerning the weekend in May with a group that I helped out last year, and the retreat house was trying to, you know, help the people that were registered because they may have to cancel that weekend, and you know, what to offer them and other weekends that they would fit in with. And so I had sent a text message to our good friend Sean Mooney, who's really active in the Matt Talbot retreat movement, and asking about maybe helping these women out in with the September Matt Talbot group. And and when I sent him the text message, he wrote back and he said, I'll call you back. And it was like, well, I didn't call you. I sent you a text. So sure enough, a little while later, he called me back, and I, you know, explained everything that was going on my end and what I was looking for. And, you know, before I made a formal recommendation to the retreat house, I wanted to run it by him. And then at the end of it, he says, yeah, and I was just getting ready to call you. And I was like, oh, what's going on? And, you know, I thought maybe there's something to do with First Saturday, this, that, you know. And he let me know that the retreat director for the Matt Talbot 57 group that's going to be out there again April 10th to the 12th. Is it the 10th to the 12th? No, the 12th to the 14th. So not this coming weekend, the weekend after. That unfortunately, the gentleman that they were looking forward to having there as the retreat director, having some serious back issues, and I guess bad enough that he's going to go ahead and have the surgery and wouldn't be able to make the retreat, and would I be available? And, you know, I've shared over the last year or so, the group that I was with last May was the first retreat I gave, and I gave another one in October and another smaller group. But God's thrown me into the fire here with 240 plus, and I had a great
baptism by fire.
Yeah, well, I had a great conversation with a buddy of mine because we were talking about, you know, some stuff that he was going through, And it was like, you know, when we look, and his name was Tom, and it was like, Tom, you know, when we look back, anything that has happened in our lives that, you know, really require God's grace, if we look close enough, we see that the grace always comes before the challenge. And I hear you say it all the time, you know, God, will you do it again? Will you do it again? And that's obvious because you've recognized that God has provided the grace that you've needed at challenging times in your life. And I think that's the important part of witnessing to one another in that, because, you know, I know God's taken care of other people that have been thrown into similar situations. I really have no fear going into the next weekend. And, you know, I say it all the time. If you told me that this was in the cards, this is what God had planned for my life many moons ago when I, you know, first put down the bottle, I never would have believed it. And, you know, just how important it is for all of us to recognize that God wants us to do great things, and those great things don't necessarily mean that they're big things. You know, I used to think, look at Kathleen McCarthy and all the work that she was done and with the radio and the retreats and what have you. And, you know, how can anybody do all that? And you know, to be put in similar situations today, but it doesn't mean that that's what all of us are called to. You know, some of us are called to other roles and to do other things, but, you know, God needs us to do something. And, you know, one of the great challenges in life is to try and discern what that is. I think folks that are in recovery, you know, get a leg up in that, you know, once we sober up and we go through the steps, our goal then is to, you know, seek through prayer and meditation, you know, exactly what it is that God wants us to do. And, you know, sometimes they'll give us something to do and it may last a lifetime. Other times they'll give us something to do and it's just for this week. And it may change next week or next month or next year. And but always building on, you know, my experience, always building on what we've done in the past. And, you know, like every time we think we've arrived, there's something new on the horizon. So it makes life exciting.
Yeah. You know? I was thinking, too, Ken, you know, you're a natural, really are. You're a radio host and all the talks you give. But I was thinking, you know, when you had your moment of truth and sobriety, but prior to that, you were on the debate team in high school. Am I right?
Yep. Yep.
Debate, and he was already pruning you for this kind of work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. My parents thought I was going to be a lawyer.
Back, yeah. You know, we see how the dots are connected, the T's are crossed.
Yep.
But even from conception, God lays it all out. He knows it's already divinely orchestrated, exactly, you know. And we just need to respond to those graces all along the way. Like you say, you have that prevenient grace beforehand, but it's also the grace afterwards, too, you know. You know, when our crosses and tribulations come, our difficulties and trials, you know, to embrace those because we find him the most there. And then the grace is right after that as well, you know, and we get closer and closer to God because that's how we grow spiritually. It's in the struggles of ourselves that we get closer and closer, and we just need to trust him more and more and to surrender, you know, to surrender to him and let him take care of us, you know, that cooperation of God's grace. St. Augustine had a wonderful line just comes to mind. He who made us without our cooperation can't save us without our cooperation. That we have to receive the grace and cooperate with the grace. And then everything unfolds. And more, as Michael McLachlan would say, more will be revealed again and again and again. How blessed we are. But it's all grace, Ken. All grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. All grace.
Amen. Don't have any other calls? You got an Otter Godfather?
No.
Okay.
Like you say, it's all Otter God.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. We've got about 15 minutes left, and we want to touch a little bit on Divine Mercy Sunday coming up this coming Sunday. As I mentioned at the outset, you know, it's kind of odd that St. John Paul II His feast day is not on the day he died, which usually happens with a lot of our saints, which was April the 2nd, 2005. But it was on that Saturday that the Pope would pass away, right on the vigil of Divine Mercy Sunday, and a feast and the idea that, you know, came about because of his own knowledge of Saint Faustina and her diary, and was the one that helped to implement this this day 9 days after Easter, culminating Easter week with Divine Mercy Sunday, and an opportunity for an indulgence like none other, where not only are all our sins forgiven, but also the punishment that is that's due for them. So, Father, before I turn it over to you, we do have another caller on the line. We're going to go to Frank. Hello, Frank.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Just calling to say hi to Mr. Kevin Johnson, Father Douglas Michael McKay, and Captain Lou Campion in South Philly. I listen to you guys every week, and I just want to say hi. Everything's doing good, and hope the same for you guys.
That is, Frank. Happy Easter, brother.
Oh, yeah, forgot about that. Happy Easter, Father. Happy Easter, Ken and Maureen, and everyone listening.
Yeah.
Have a great Easter.
Good Easter. Good Easter. Spend some time with family, some good food. How about you?
It was great. It was great. I forget what we had. I forget a lot of things, but I'm still here, and I'm still sober, and I'm still doing good.
Awesome, Frank. Great to hear you.
Thanks to you, Stree. Captain Lou, Bob, Doug, and you, Ken. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
You're welcome, pal. Happy Easter.
Thanks again.
Happy Easter, Frank. God bless
you. Thanks, Father.
Very good.
Yeah, don't get going.
I have an Easter message.
What's that?
Easter message.
Yeah.
I'd like to share this.
Wait a minute.
You know, Ken, I was just thinking.
Hey, Father, before you go, we got another guy on the line. Hello, Butch. Okay. Hello, Butch.
Hey, guys.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Just calling in, listening to you guys. I just wanted to share something. In the last weekend, the Easter holiday and all, I got to give Pat Kennedy a shout-out because the highlight of the last week for me was going to the Holy Mass, Holy Thursday Night Mass. It just overwhelmed me with joy. I was amazed. I haven't went in I don't know how long, probably over 25 years, and don't recall going to Holy Thursday Mass, you know, and it was just, it brought me so much light, and going with that pushed me, asked me to go, and I called Dee Dee and Mikey, and she'd been struggling health-wise, and she got dropped off to me, and she went, and we both came out of there, and it was just such a blessing to be there and all. And I just wanted to share that. And I also had an honor God experience yesterday or today sometime. But, of course, when I call in, I can't think of it right now. But you know me. I'm Italian, so it'll come to me after we hang up. And I want to tell Kenny, Father Doug, Patrick, I love you guys so much. And my days are getting better. Thank God for good men like you guys. And that's what I got to seek. I got to keep going to God and have faith. And sometimes I, you know, I lose it along the way. But the last week and all, things are changing. Going to adoration, doing the rosary with Pat. You know, I'm getting the glow back a little. I've been in a little darkness. The devil's attacking me. You got me?
Yeah.
So I just want to tell all three of you guys, I'm so grateful that yous are in my life, and I'm so blessed. And believe me, I would do anything for any of you guys. I love yous with all my heart.
We love you too, brother. And you know, one of the beauties of having friendships like we do is we saw you a couple of weeks ago, probably in your darkest moments, and to see you on the other side, you know, coming into the chapel this morning, as soon as you opened the door, you know, with, you know, singing pieces flowing like a river, man, we knew you had arrived. And, you know, who knows? That doesn't mean it's going to stay that way forever, but... But you don't know how uplifting that is when you when somebody that you know was in the throes of a struggle, you know, all of a sudden is filled with joy. That's what life's all about. And for God to allow Father and I and Patrick to be a part of that is such a gift. And you know, so you know, we don't know when our time's going to come. When, you know, we're going to be the ones that are going through something, and you're going to need to be there for us. So that's what this is all about. So appreciate the call, brother.
Yep. Yeah, and you guys be careful driving.
Will do.
Hey, Butch, I was sitting in the sacristy when you came in. I'm thinking about walking out. I said, what hymn should I start? Amazing Grace? And then I hear this hymn outside. Peace is flowing like a river. I said, that's it. So I came out. That was the entrance hymn. Peace is flowing like a river.
Yeah, but you got to.
No, you heard me. Yeah. You heard me, Butch.
But you got to sing it like Butch. Peace is flowing.
Well, anyway, the connection there was what Ken was. And this is an honor of God right here. But what Ken was talking about, divine mercy. You know, here he comes into the locked doors. It's Easter night, the eighth day of Easter. It's Easter night. And he institutes the sacrament of reconciliation. And two times he looks at them. When they need it the most, he institutes the sacrament of reconciliation. But two times he says to them, peace be with you. And he says it again, peace be with you. And he breathes on them, the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive or forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain are retained. So it's honor God that you would call in with that, and Ken would bring up that peace is flowing like a river, because that's what it's about, peace.
Yes.
You know, keep your heart in peace, and thousands will find salvation near you. St. Peter Chrysologus said, put peace before every other virtue, because God is peace. I know when I'm with God, because there's peace in my heart. And when I'm disturbed, I'm not with God. I got to make my prayer, Jesus, save me. You know, I'm right back in that peace again. But, yeah, thanks for calling in, Butch. Mm. And
I love
keep the
guys.
Peace.
Thank you, guys.
All right, brother. We'll see you soon.
Okay.
Take care. And we got another caller on the line, Father. We're going to go to Jason. Hello, Jason. Jason.
Yes, hi, this is Jason Kingston. Hi.
Hey, brother, how are you?
I'm okay, thanks. I don't know if this is an honor God thing exactly, but I just want to express my deep gratitude to my friends at Our House of Industries, Patrick, Father McKay, Ken, Chuck, others. I moved over a year ago. I was homeless, and I'm not now, thank God. And I've been contemplating becoming a Catholic Christian for over 30 years, and I'm about to be confirmed on April 21st as a Catholic and receive my first Holy Communion. I can't contain my enthusiasm, and something special happened to me this past year with the people I mentioned, you know, my friends there, and I just want to thank you all. So,
thank you, Jason. Where did you receive your first Holy Communion?
No, not yet. On the 21st.
April 21st. I'm coming up.
Okay, wonderful. Wonderful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Hope to see you guys there. If you can make it.
Yeah.
Is that going to be at St. Gabriel's?
Yep, St. Gabriel's.
Very good.
But it fits in a way to with the honor of God, because it's just amazing to me how God works things out. You know, I just, from homelessness, and I've still got tons of work to do, but, you know, things are, I think, moving in the right direction. And, I'm just astonished and awed by His grace and mercy, the way He works, unexpectedly.
Yeah, we know some of the struggles that you've had, and you know, when you were coming to Calyx and kind of on the fence, and then decided to take the, you know, jump into the pool with the rest of us, and again, like we were just saying with Butch, you know, how blessed we are to be able to witness it and witness, you know, how God is working not only in each of us but working in you, and so. You know, thank you for allowing us to be a part of that. And, it may line up because the 21st is we got Calix in the morning, so I should be in town, and we'll do my best to get there for your first communion and confirmation.
Another big blessing around it for me is my two grown children, son and daughter, who are not very actively faithful. They were at one point earlier in their lives, but they're not now. I invited them with their my son's in Ohio, my daughter's in North Carolina, with absolutely zero expectation that they would come, and they're coming. They're both booked flights, and they're going to be here. So for
That's awesome. Blessing. That's absolutely awesome, Jason. Good for you.
Yeah.
Very good.
Well, just want to share some good news.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. That's really inspiring for us and encouraging for us. You're doing so well. And we miss you, Jason. We miss you.
Yeah.
Happy Easter.
All right, pal.
Thank you so much. Happy Easter to you.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Talk to you soon. Take care. All right. We've got about 3 minutes left here, Father. We start to talk about Divine Mercy Sunday. Just remember that there's an opportunity for a plenary indulgence this coming Sunday. You need sacramental confession within 20 days before or after of Divine Mercy Sunday. Make a Eucharistic communion on that day, preferably, or the day before or after, but preferably on Sunday. Pray for the intentions of the Pope. And then the specific conditions for this indulgence is in any church or chapel in a spirit that is completely detached from the affection for a sin. So you can't hate anybody, even a venial sin. Take part in the prayers and devotions held in honor of Divine Mercy. So maybe it's your own parish or surrounding parishes. You want to check them out and see who's having the Divine Mercy devotions on Sunday afternoon. If you can't find one in the presence of the Blessed Sacrament exposed or reserved in the tabernacle, you're asked to recite an Our Father and the Creed and then add a devout prayer to the merciful Lord Jesus. For example, merciful Jesus, I trust in you. Then you can certainly look it up online for what's required. So, sorry, Father, I just took away a minute, so you got two.
2 minutes, all right. I just wanted to make the announcement kind of on this first Friday that we're here at Malvern, the first Friday Mass. I don't know if you announced that or not.
Yeah, I mentioned
first Friday,
it.
First Friday, 7:30. Yep. Okay. And the Maximilian Kolbe Village, the second Thursday. And the third Sunday for our Calix Sunday, our Calix unit here. But anyway, I was going to end with a lengthy story, so I'm going to change my story to what I said today at Mass. Or was it last night? Last night. About St. Joseph of Arimathea. The otter god was St. Joseph of Arimathea. His feast day is on March 29th, so it happened to fall on Good Friday. And so after Jesus rose from the dead and the apostles were in the upper room, Joseph of Arimathea was there. And they were praising Joseph of Arimathea. They said, man, you really did something beautiful for the Lord. You gave him your tomb, and you worked hard on that most of your life, and you spent most of your savings. And Joseph said, now, wait a minute, guys, you had it all wrong. When Jesus came to me, he said, Joseph, I need a favor. He said, well, Lord, anything. And then the Lord said to Joseph, I need your tomb. And Joseph said, my tomb? Lord, you know how hard I worked on my tomb and my expense that I put into it. Joseph, you don't understand. I don't want to buy your tomb. I just want to rent your tomb for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So the tomb is empty again, Ken, because he's not there. He's right here with us, listening to this radio program, inspire our hearts to speak about the truths of our salvation, the truths of eternal life. Okay.
Amen.
The blessing, Ken?
Please.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the greatest Easter gift of all, your Son, your Holy Spirit, who tells us about who we are and how much you really love us in that place in heaven someday with all our loved ones. Bless us all, especially those in most need, with the Easter joy and glory. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Happy Easter. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thanks, Ken.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. I'll probably catch up with you in about an hour and a half or so out at Malvern for our guests.
All right.
Or for our listeners, rather. Our 5 o'clock guest is already on the line. Christopher Reed will be talking about his book, Sacred Conversations. Don't go away. We'll be right back.